Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Test. You got a special bonus pod for you today to end your week on a high note. It's a Who Says No Friday from the Play Tessie gang. Before we get going, Sammy's got a Who Says No today. So it's going to be good. Sammy's very good at these. I love Sammy's Who Says No's. But before we get to it, remember, you got to subscribe to the podcast, man. Help your boys out. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think of Sammy's trade. Go on YouTube, WEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there in that channel. Subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on all of those videos, every single one of them. Literally go down the line and hit the thumbs up on all of them. And as always, find us on the socials, at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So I'm here with Sammy, and I'm here with Pat. And Sammy, it's your turn for the Who Says No. Love these ones, man. Love these bonus pods. Love these Who Says No's. Got to do as many of these as possible because like the people love the Who Says No's. They love the graphics. The graphics go so hard and people just go nuts. And the polls are always great too because I feel like every single one of them, we always have the poll and it's the three options are Red Sox say no. It'll ask Who Says No and it'll be Red Sox say no, other team says no, or both teams say yes. And
it's a good sign.
It's usually 50-50 between Red Sox and whoever else says no, which means it's good.
That's a good sign. If we get like 50-50, I feel like we did a good job. If we get everyone saying Red Sox say yes or everyone saying the other team says no, I'm like, maybe we got to reevaluate. So when we get those kind of in-between ones, I think that's good.
All right, Sammy, let's hear it, baby. What do you got?
All right. So on our last episode, we spoke a lot about the bullpen market, free agency wise, Tanner Scott probably going to get like around $20 million a year. That's a lot. You could go on that second tier, go for Kittredge, a bounce back from AJ Minter. There's options. Here's an alternative. Obviously not a free agent. It's a trade market. In this scenario, the Red Sox are adding my new white whale, Mason Miller, and his 275 mile an hour fastball of the Oakland/Sacramento/Las Vegas/minor league ballpark A's. And in return, the Red Sox are sending quite a bit. Willier Abreu, Cutter Crawford, and Josh Winkowski. So I think off the bat, people are going to say, why would the A's do this? This isn't enough. I think it's the other way around. Here's my reasoning. And I think, I mean, in my head, both teams do it. But I think if any team is overpaying, I think it's the Red Sox. Here's why. So the A's are probably going to ask for a quote-unquote overpay as they did at the deadline, allegedly. Miller is ARB eligible 2026, so he's got a lot of team control. That's something that's appealing to the A's, a team that traditionally has been cheap. This year, you know, they're spending a little bit, but still not that much. And the Red Sox here, they're trading from two areas of depth. Starting pitching, they all of a sudden have a good amount of it. And then outfield, especially left-handed hitting outfielders, the Red Sox have a ton. So Willier, 4 years of team control. Cutter, Crawford, 4 years of team control. And then Josh Winkowski, he's also team controlled. He's more of just kind of replacing the depth. The real guys I want people to focus on are Abreu and Cutter. So from a far away perspective, you're trading a lot more team control from more valuable positions. So I would say an outfielder and a starting pitcher, you could argue, are more valuable than a good closer. So right off the bat, the Red Sox are giving up a lot in that regard. Abreu makes sense for Oakland because, yeah, he can hit, and that's great. And if you look at Oakland's outfield, the defense is so bad. They have J.J. Bleda in center. He would be a bad corner outfielder. Lawrence Butler, not a good corner outfielder. Brent Rooker, more of a DH. Miguel Andujar, just not good outfield defense on the A's. They can hit, they can swing it, but they're not good defenders. So Willy Abreu does both, so I think the A's would be into that. They've also shown an emphasis on starting pitching this offseason, adding Jeffrey Springs and Luis Severino. So Cutter Crawford, I think he'd be their number three or four, middle of the rotation guy for the A's. So that's appealing to them. And both those guys are people they could have under team control for dirt cheap for 4 years apiece. That means something to Oakland. And then Josh Winkowski, like I said, he's kind of just a sweetener, a major league reliever that they can plug in so they don't have to go search for depth. Just sweeten the pot a little bit. So, yeah, it's a lot to be giving up. Red Sox, they would miss the depth that Crawford provides. Abreu was awesome in 2024. He hit well, gold glove defense in the toughest right field in the world. But you've got like seven starters right now, so you can replace Cutter. You've got the number one prospect in baseball in AAA in Roman Anthony. You can replace Willy Abreu. What you don't have is a solidified closer, a guy that you can rely upon. That's our guy in the ninth inning. I don't care who's coming up. I don't care if it's Aaron Judge coming up. I don't care if it's some guy you've never heard of. He's going in regardless. That's what Mason Miller would be for the Red Sox, and he wouldn't cost them money. So that's my trade. One more time, Willy Abreu, Cutter Crawford, Josh Winkowski to the A's for Mason Miller. Who says no?
Pat, you want to take it first?
Yeah. I actually like it. I think you'd even get rid of Wink. I think Wink adds, no offense to Josh Winkowski, in terms of trade value, I don't think he adds much at all. I think if you do Willy and Cutter straight up for Mason Miller, you pointed out, it kind of fits what they're trying to do this offseason. They're targeting good, reliable starting pitching. They bring in Springs. They bring in Severino. Severino is more of, you know, they gave him the biggest contract in franchise history. Springs is a weird one because he's been really good. I don't know if I completely buy that he's as good as he's been. And then Cutter is one of those guys that just makes sense for Oakland. He's a 4-5 starter. He's incredibly controlled for the next couple of years. Willier fits great in Oakland. Don't know what the dimension of the new ballpark is, but when they were in Oakland, you pointed it out. The outfield defense sucked. Willier adds to the defense. He would be a top 3-4 hitter in that lineup. And that's with him not even being able to touch a lefty. I hate saying both teams say yes, but I really do like the outline of the package.
The other outfield they have is Seth Brown, who they're starting to play at first base. So yeah, this is a impressively bad defensive outfield. I know it's not the most important thing in the world, outfield defense. If you have a good center fielder, you're normally set, but that's bad. That's like really, really bad outfield defense.
I'm very interested that Pat just gave the both teams say yes answer, because I'm going to give a very rare answer. I think both teams say no. And I'll tell you why. I think Oakland isn't going to trade Mason Miller unless they get a clear-cut, blue-chip, elite prospect/young player. Like, they would want, like, a Christian Campbell to do it. And God knows that Mason Miller is not worth a top-10 prospect in baseball. No reliever is. And that's why I don't make the deal if I'm the Red Sox. I'm not trading a very good all-around outfielder with 5 years of control and a good mid to back end starting pitcher with 4 years of control and more for, I know he's a tantalizing guy. Mason Miller is as electric as they come, but 2.5 ERA last year. If you look at what his job is, which is locking down games, like he is far more electric than let's say Kenley Jansen was for the Red Sox last year. But for the most part, Kenley Jansen, when the game was on the line and it was a safe situation, he got the job done. And it wasn't flashy, it wasn't sexy, but he got the job done, which is all you really can ask for in the ninth inning.
It was pretty sexy.
I mean, with the Hezzy, sometimes it was kind of sexy.
Kenley sexy.
Sexy Jansen, baby. That's what they call him, baby. Big sexy. But no, but I'm never the type of guy that wants to give long-term contracts to relievers. I'm never the type of guy that wants to give big prospect packages for relievers. I think relievers are so up and down, like, and especially with Mason Miller and his injury history and with how hard he throws, it could happen again. But relievers, they're electric 1 year and then they go down the tubes the next. It would be very scary for me to give that much for a closer. So I have the Red Sox saying no because I think they're overpaying, and I have the A's saying no because I think they would ask for something completely ridiculous. I think they'd be dumb to turn down that package, but I think they'd turn it down anyway.
So I thought you would say that. So I did some background research on the A's recent trade. So they've traded, breaking news, the A's love to trade their good players. Matt Chapman, who was in his prime when he was dealt, traded to Toronto for Gunnar Hoglund, Kevin Smith, Zach Lowe, Kirby Snead. Not really any top prospects. A smattering of good ones. Then you have Matt Olson, traded for Christian Pache, defensive outfielder. Shea Langeliers, pretty good prospect. Ryan Cusick and Joey Estes. Good prospects, none great. And then they have the Sean Murphy trade, who arguably the best catcher in baseball when he was dealt. They got Manny Pena, who was a backup. Kyle Muller, Freddie Tarnock, and minor league right-hander Roiber Salinas.
Nice.
So the A's, I agree. If I were a GM in a vacuum, I'd say, yeah, you got to give me blue chip talent for my elite closer, of course. But it's the A's, and they have a history of doing the quantity over quality type of deal. So you might be right, Gordo. I just am not 100% sold that they would turn down a similar package to what they've taken in the past. And I believe it's the same regime mostly over in Oakland / Sacramento / Vegas, where the hell they play.
But Sammy, you also got to remember, there were reports last year that when the Padres tried to get Mason Miller, the A's wanted Jackson Merrill. That was their ask, was Jackson Merrill.
True. So, but I will go over.
They should take your package, though. They should take your package. They should.
I feel that a lot of the times when we hear trade rumors like that, like if someone came to me, if the Pirates were like, we want Tristan Casas, I'd be like, great, I want Jared Jones. And they'd be like, whoa, come on, he's a first baseman. What are you talking about? And then you negotiate. With the Padres, they're like, oh, we want Jackson Merrill. It's like, yo, chill. He's Mason Miller's a closer. And then you haggle about it. So I don't.
That's a big gap. That's not like like Jared Jones and Tristan Casas, like you could get there, whatever. If they're asking Jackson Merrill for Mason Miller, they're just not trading them. They're not doing it.
Yeah, but you also got to think like how was this? What was this conversation like? Was it like, hey, is Merrill available? No, get out of here. Or was it like, we are not moving him unless Jackson Merrill is included? Like, big difference. It's hard with these rumors when you hear like this team wanted player X for player Y. It's just you don't know the severity of it, if that makes sense. Like, how was it the starting point or was it the walk away point? And I think that's a big difference.
We have to write this one down and play Tessie history. There is no way we're ever going to get this again where one person says both teams say yes and the other one says both teams say no. There's no chance that ever happens again.
I'm telling you, when we post this, everyone is going to say, why would the A's do this? Why would the A's do? Because people get, and you know, I'm guilty of this too. You see 104 on the radar gun and you're mesmerized. Like, this guy's unhittable. But it's not true. Like, Mason Miller's blown up before. He's not perfect. He's 26 years old. He's just a rookie now. So, you know, he's got flaws. And I agree, Gordo, I like your reasoning why the Red Sox wouldn't do it. And I agree. I think if either team were to say no, I think it would be Boston. But this is my trade, so I think they both say yes.
Predict the poll. What do you think the poll results are going to be?
Oh,
ooh.
This is going to be 80% say A's say no. That's my guess.
See, I think more people are going to say Red Sox say no than you think. I think it's going to be more than
maybe.
I'm going to go 68% Red Sox say no.
Really?
Dude, you have it blows my mind how much people overvalue Willier and Cutter.
That's both true, dude. Oh my God.
Very solid. But you are not trading Ted and Pedro. They are not that good.
You think you could get Garrett Crochet for Willier Abreu? I can't believe that. I still can't believe people were saying
holy crap. You just offered the Garrett Crochet package for Mason Miller right there. That was
right,
it, right?
Right. That's why, exactly. And that's why when people were like, well, what about Cutter and Willier for Crochet? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's one of the best 10 starting pitchers in the world. Now I'm offering it for a closer with zero high leverage experience outside of his closing games in Oakland.
He closed the last game in the Coliseum, Sammy. That's a high leverage game right there.
You know that I know you're joking, but I feel like that
kind of is.
You don't want to mess that up. You don't want to be the guy to mess that up. But hey, you know, point remains. I just don't. That was crazy to me when people were saying that. But anyway, yeah, I think that was an interesting trade.
I like trades like that. I like the trades because obviously, like, we know that the majority of trades that are made in baseball, it's like a bunch of players that I think most fans have never heard of because they're prospects. And like going into the Crochet trade, for example, I bet a lot of fans had only heard of Kyle Teal and maybe a good amount more had heard of Montgomery. But like there were definitely a ton of fans, like especially outside the Twitterverse, that didn't know Chase Mydroth or Wickelman Gonzalez. So like I really like the trades like this where it's like you get Mason Miller coming one way and you get three big leaguers going the other. And you could legitimately make the argument for the trade. It's not like it's some bullshit, but it's like a trade where like people are gonna want to talk about it because it's people they've heard of, people they know, people in some cases that they're attached to. And it's a good one. I like these ones.
I'm trying to think. I got a name in mind, but when has there ever been a all-star rookie closer who was traded?
I mean, how often do you see rookie all-stars traded? Like, take closer out of it. Seriously, it doesn't happen.
No, I'm wrong. I was going to say Neftali Feliz, but I forgot he started with Texas. Never mind. By the way, Neftali Feliz signed with the Mariners this year.
Yeah, what the hell? That was crazy.
Weird. It sounds like a Yankees move. They love those old guys.
We got a say it again, Pat.
Carlos Pena, was he the last rookie traded as an all-star?
Was he a rookie all-star?
Yeah, maybe if we can't find all-star closer, maybe Carlos Pena was a.
I don't think he was.
Was he ever? I mean,
I think they made it seem like he was in Moneyball, but I don't think he actually was in real life. Yeah, he was.
No. He was eighth place in Rookie of the Year voting.
We might have to take this one offline because I really don't know. Like when would we have ever seen a rookie all-star traded? You have to like that is like the most valuable commodity in the sport is a guy with 5+ years of control who's already good enough to be an all-star.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm overpaying as the Red Sox for Mason Miller, but it's a little different. And I love closers. Like I've said before on the show, I think it's the coolest position in baseball, but they're not as valuable as starting pitchers. Like, let's be real. Yeah. A closer, a rookie deal closer, I say is less valuable than a like Garrett Crochet with 2 years of control left. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I figured it'd be fun to try to trade for an unusual commodity like that.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. And I'm excited for the discussion because I can't wait for the promo. Like when I quote tweet the thing, I'll quote tweet it. I'll say like something like we have a rare circumstance here where one person said both say yes and the other one said they both say no. I seriously, we're never getting that again. We've never gotten that before. We're never getting that again. That is
like a full mirrored. Yeah. Hey, someday.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll wrap it on that. We appreciate you guys tuning into this bonus pod. Sammy's Who Says No for Mason Miller to the Boston Red Sox. This has been Playtesty. We would appreciate it if you guys subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate 5 stars, Apple, Spotify, everywhere. Download the show, subscribe to the podcast, rate 5 stars, leave a comment, say what you think of Sammy's trade. How do you feel about Willy Abreu being in, like, I think 10 straight of these Who Says No trades? Go to YouTube. Watch our feeds on YouTube. Go to the WEI channel. Subscribe to WEI. Find our playlist. It's the Play Tessie playlist that has all of our episodes where you can hit the thumbs up. Check them all out and subscribe to WEI. And as always, find us on the socials. Follow at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For this special bonus pod, Who Says No on a Friday for Play Tessie? It's for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing. It's Gordo here. Sammy, thanks for the Who Says No. And thank you all for tuning in to this edition of Play Tessie. Peace.